Welcome to another episode of Bitches Love Sports. I'm Bitch 2.
I'm Bitch 1.
Yeah, let's just jump into it. Oh, actually, you know what? There's something that I wanted to do before we jumped into it.
Okay.
I haven't looked at my Instagram notifications since Saturday.
Oh.
Even though I posted...
I
posted something, but I was like, I can't bring myself to look at the notifications. So... For all the listeners out there, what had happened was... So I decided to post a reel of the clip from our last episode. Not our last episode. The episode before last. Where we talked about basically just how it didn't make sense that so many people get up in arms about trans athletes playing women's sports. But they typically don't actually support women's sports. They don't pay attention to women's sports except... to talk about trans athletes. So it's like, it's basically them pretending like they need to protect women's sports, as they say, when in actuality, they're using women's sports as a platform for their homophobia, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't the first time that we've talked about trans athletes.
No.
So I posted this reel, and Instagram has this option now where you can post the same reel to two different accounts if you're logged into both accounts on one device, right? But the thing is, it has this glitch to where it's like, basically what happened was I saw where it had selected my personal account.
Okay.
But then it turned all of them off. So then whenever I tried to like turn it on and back off to remove my personal account, It was like, you can't select more than 5 accounts. And I'm like, well, I only selected one. You selected another one for me. I don't know what's going on. So I was just like, whatever, post. Okay. Turned out it did post to both my personal account and the podcast account. And like, I don't know if anybody ever started commenting in favor of what I was saying. I just know the very first comments that I got were unfortunately from the very people I was talking about in the reel. Like one of them was like this really big Oregon sports fan, for real. And so this person started commenting and I looked at their page and it was like all men's sports, football, men's basketball, men's baseball. And I was like, well, you don't care about women's sports. Like, you're who I'm talking about, you know? And we went back and forth. There was this other person who was like, we don't care about women's sports. That's why you're, I had said something like, stick with your area of interest. And this guy was like, we do. That's why you're on here complaining about people not paying attention to women's sports. And I'm like, that's not even what the reel is about. And he was like,
they didn't even watch
well, what's it about? And I'm just like, well, it says on the reel, it mentions Rory Danes. Also in the caption, I mentioned like Rory Danes went decades without being held accountable. Yet all these people claim they need to protect women's sports, but they don't protect women's sports from people like this. So I'm just like, you literally didn't care. You heard me say trans women and
then you just
went
immediately
off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Head first.
So that was Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, I woke up to Instagram being like, you have 65 notifications. And I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. So now that I'm here with a friend, I'm going to take a second and look at the notifications.
I like this better than what we had prepared. I like this much better. Spill the tea, girl.
So let's see. It's a lot of likes. That was the other thing. It was like people who supported the reel, they liked it, but they didn't say anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I need y'all to speak up, y'all. So I'm seeing a lot of likes. I appreciate
good.
It.
That's good. Likes
Somebody said this is a certified women classic. I don't know what that means. Some people said dumb shit. Like, one guy was like, this is dumb as fuck. If LeBron went to the WNBA, he'd score 100 points per game. And I'm like, first of all, dumbass, we're not talking about LeBron playing against a team of me. Clearly, the idiot who said this is too dumb to realize that, like, there are women in the WNBA who are bigger than LeBron.
Like, literally. How would he know?
Right, because he doesn't watch women's sports.
Thank you.
So, but that's kind of my thing. I'm like,
you would know that Britney is way bigger than LeBron. Okay.
And so, yeah, it was just shit like that I was just like, if you took a team made up of the average dude off the street, like, LeBron would probably score 100 points. This is not a gender.
I was going to say, regardless of the
LeBron
gender.
LeBron is an elite athlete. And so you kind of got to compare him to other elite athletes, like, even if they are women. But it's just like, these idiots can't wrap their minds around the idea that women could be elite athletes too.
Yeah, nice.
That they could be taller and have a bigger wingspan than LeBron. That they could actually you know,
better at some
better. I don't know, but it's like they could play solid defense. I've seen LeBron give a lot of women's teams trouble. So it's just like, if he gave a women's team trouble, it wouldn't shock. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'd be like, well, it's LeBron James. He gives a lot of people trouble.
Right.
He's kind of been working on his game for a long time.
Forever.
But yeah, so it looks like there weren't a lot of comments. Let me go to like the insights. So 2,315 plays, 69 likes, 8 shares, 3 saves, only 8 comments. Okay. Y'all did good. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens on the other page. Also, it was accidentally taken off of the main news feed. Like, I was like clicking shit and then it took it out of the feed and put it in our reels section. So if you go to our page and looking for this, look under the reels tab, because apparently there's a button to take it off of the main post page, but there's not a way to put it back on, which I was kind of mad about because I didn't even do that on purpose. Okay, so on our podcast page, 955 plays, 14 likes, 20 comments, and 2 shares, no saves. So it did better on my personal page than on the podcast page, which is kind of weird. Do I want to scroll through these comments?
I mean, we're here.
Nah, nothing new to discuss. So that's basically what happened. So I just say this to say, like, if you're a person, and it doesn't have to just be us, but like, if you see somebody posting something that you're in support of, even if you just like hit them with some fire emojis or something, just like put something in the comments to let them know that there's support. It's really helpful. I mean, we're not going to stop talking about trans athletes or anything.
Oh, no.
So I'm just more so putting that out there for like general information for people who might be like, dang, like, what's the best way to handle assholes like that? The best way to handle it is just by showing support for the people who are actually putting out content that shares a perspective that actually makes sense.
Correct.
Or that aligns with your values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for sitting with me and doing that, because like, I wasn't getting anxiety about checking my Instagram, because I'm like, I'm the type of person that if I get mad enough, I'll be on social media for like 2 hours arguing with somebody.
And oh, girl.
I didn't want that to happen.
Girl, the amount of posts that I've gotten on Facebook is unreal. Even about my own profile picture for putting a fucking, what is it? Like the little thing that you put around your picture?
The border?
Yes. I had like over 100 comments because people.
What kind of border did you put up?
About being vaccinated.
How dare you share with the world that you've been vaccinated?
But it is a cute picture. It's a super cute. Just put the border on and then people are like, man, what do you mean by this? And I'm like,
like, can you read?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Alrighty. I don't know what to do with these locks. I can't decide. Anyway.
They look good though.
I'm going to be throwing them all over the place this whole episode. So sorry, y'all.
It's fine.
All right. So now we can get into shout outs and call outs. All right. First shout out goes to the U.S. Women's National Team. I wish there was soccer somewhere in that name, because U.S. Women's National Team, there's a lot of women's national teams. There's like the basketball team, you know, there's like the softball team.
Yeah.
There's 2 different U.S. roller derby teams. Anyway. So when we say USWNT or U.S. Women's National Team, we mean soccer.
Soccer.
But they won their 5th She Believes title.
Mm-hmm.
So the United States women's national team earned their 5th She Believes Cup title on Wednesday after a 5-0 win over Iceland. The trophy is the 3rd consecutive tournament title for the USWNT and the 2nd She Believes Cup championship for head coach Vlatko Andonovski. So shout out to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you guys for doing that. That was great.
And the next shout out goes to Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is a sophomore that plays basketball for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And so, first off, she was announced the Big Ten Player of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
So, congratulations. That was announced yesterday on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But what's a bigger deal than that is the fact that she is just
crushing it.
Yeah, she is crushing it. She is like really doing her thing. So Clark has tallied 31 career Big Ten Weekly honors, 13 freshman honors, 12 player and 6 honor roll. And then there was the honor this week. But also, she leads Division I women's basketball in points and assists. So Clark's numbers this season have made her a candidate to be the National Women's Player of the Year as a sophomore. And so her main competition right now, it sounds like, is Aaliyah Boston, who's a junior forward at number one ranked South Carolina. Shout out to South Carolina and Coach Dawn Staley.
Yay.
And Aaliyah is averaging 16.8 points and 11.9 rebounds. So Clark right now has 5 triple-doubles this season and was the first player in Division I history, men's or women's, to have back-to-back 30-point triple-doubles.
That's insane.
Yeah. She leads Division I in scoring and assists and is on a pace to become the first woman to lead the nation in both categories at that level. Trae Young in the 2017-2018 season for Oklahoma was the only player in men's basketball to do it.
Go, Caitlin. We're rooting for you. We're rooting for you, Caitlin.
So apparently she's also close to averaging a triple-double as well, which is really hard to do. So her averages right now are 27.5 points, 8.3 assists, and 7.9 rebounds a game, while shooting 45.8% from the field and over 32.6% on three-point attempts. Jeez.
It's insane.
Yeah, there's an article about her that came out recently in the New York Times. I think it just came out a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. But it describes her as being extremely competitive, which I love. And obviously, I mean, you have to be extremely competitive to perform at this level regularly.
Yep.
And it also says that she apparently occasionally texts Kevin Durant about life on and off the court. We know Kevin Durant is a fan of women's basketball.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
makes sense that he would be chatting with an up-and-coming star.
Yeah.
Also,
she's going to crush it. Once she make it to the WNBA, woo!
Well, she's already said that it's her dream to play in the WNBA, but she will not be eligible until 2023 when she reaches the league's minimum age of 22. In the NBA, though, the minimum age is 19. I don't know why that is, but something y'all might want to look into. I can't even think of why that would even make sense. And
I don't either.
Speculate because I don't know why. But
do you think they just want to keep them in college until they're actually done? Then,
I mean, it could be that since like women's players don't make as much money, they want to like encourage women athletes to like
stay in
school,
college,
that kind of thing.
I don't know. That's just my I don't know, an idea.
Yeah, very possibly could be that. All right, next shout out goes to Ja Morant. I love watching Ja Morant. We need more Ja Morant on television. Like, I don't know. Like, I heard that the Grizzlies were supposed to be on TV more this season, and something happened, and that got switched up. But yeah, whoever made that decision, bad decision. Like, if we could, like, switch the Grizzlies TV schedule with the Lakers TV schedule, like, that would be nice. Because, like, I have no interest in watching the Lakers for the rest of the season. But the Grizzlies, I wouldn't mind watching every single Grizzlies game that they have for the rest of the year. Like, seriously. This dude is, like, I'm just being honest. Lakers are not doing well. They're not exciting to watch. But the Grizzlies are so exciting to watch. Like, last night, of course, like, you know, Ja Morant, 50-point game, so he specifically was exciting. But it's, like, his whole character is, like, infectious. Like, his whole team is, like, full of these scrappy young guys that just play with this intensity that just makes it fun to watch.
Yeah.
But anyway, this shout-out for Ja isn't just because he won, or it's not just because the Grizzlies won. It's because Morant scored 52 points on 22 of 30 shooting, which helped the Grizzlies beat the San Antonio Spurs on Monday night. So it ended up being 118 to 105. So Morant's performance was the first 50-point game in Grizzlies franchise history. Previously, his career high was 47 points, which was a record set in the first round of the playoffs last season. So I got to show you some of these highlights. These are some things to watch. So this is a clip from SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt where he was talking about Ja Morant's performance last night.
All right.
DeRozan, largely in check. All right, we showed you a couple of what Ja, a couple of the buckets Ja had. He set a Grizzlies franchise record for career scoring in a game with 46 in the last game. You know what I'm trying to say.
Didn't get the gist.
He scored 46. That was
shit.
The
most
he's ever had. That
looked more like 37 feet.
Steve thought it was 37 feet. So if you tell the folks in screening, if you guys want to get cute, just get the distance right.
Yeah, good eye.
He's our distance expert, as you know. Now, we showed you this earlier.
Dang!
Did you see where he took off from? Look at the bench. Look at the bench. Hold on. I got to go back. Watch how the bench responds.
Tell the folks screening, if you guys want to get cute, just get the distance right.
I got a good eye.
He's our distance expert, as you know. Now, we showed you this earlier. Good. Yeah, you leave you. Jaw. Take off.
Exactly.
Look where he takes off from.
That's the part that doesn't make any sense.
It's just flying.
Benchmark loving that. And they love this too. Again, these two plays back to back.
Oh. What?
Yes.
It's just
how do you
astounding
even make that?
He just caught it in midair and turned it and shot it.
Here's how it sounded. Adams going long.
There it is. That's wild.
Ridiculous, right?
29 in the first half for Ja. Grizzlies up 10. Moran in a 3-point game.
It the just makes it look so good. Easy.
20
so easy.
Seconds to go. Moran in transition. Spin. 39-3. Memphis up 11.
Fuck, man.
Memphis leading by 5 off the missed 3. Moran in traffic.
Like, what? Does it?
It's just spectacular.
How?
Patient probes the D, then hits the accelerator. The lead's back to 10. Memphis is up a dozen. Moran, again, patient. Set it up. Take the screen from Adams. Attack the defense again. He's up to 48. Give me that. Here comes Ja.
Wow.
It's like, where did he even come from?
50 for Morant. The huge ovation from the crowd. He finishes with 52. 13-point win. Here's Ja. What he remembers from this historic night most?
Got to be the 50 ball, man. First in history.
I ain't going to lie. I don't know if I can talk about that right now, man. My head all over the place. Just thankful for my teammates, you know, my coaches. You know, they believe in me.
What were you expecting?
I don't know.
The right play.
It's a lot deeper than tonight, I thought.
They were looking for me. Like I said before, I got close. They told me to, you know, go ahead and go get it. So
he was, at the end of that, he was talking about how when his team, like his teammates and coaches, realized that he was getting close to like breaking that record of hitting 50 points, they were like, oh yeah, go ahead and go get it. And they started feeding him the ball more so that he could break the record. I'm like, that is such good teamwork.
That is, like, I was just like, gonna
yes,
say,
we want you to achieve this greatness. Right. We're going to help you.
Right. Love you know, it. Teamwork love may actually, you
make
know,
the dream big. You know. So, yeah, shout out to Ja Morant for a magnificent performance. And it's like, I get it. Spurs, not the best team. They haven't had a great season. They're not exactly known for their defense, right? So there's that. Yeah. But the athleticism, the acrobatics,
I was just going to say, it just looks like for him, like time stops once he takes off the ground. When he starts like jumping, he's just like, ooh, I got it. All these many seconds to like do all this fucking crazy shit with the ball, and then I'm actually gonna dunk it, or I'm gonna do this, or I'm gonna whatever, I'm gonna turn around midair.
Exactly. Like trying to midair, I feel like you have to be able to fly a little bit.
That's what I'm saying.
For that to work. Like, that does, I'm like, how
it's
does
like
that
time
work?
Stops exactly. For him. It's like time stops for him when he like,
I'm like
takes
this up. Way, turn this way, and shoot fade away, even though I'm already in the air. Like, no big deal. Like,
and land on my feet.
Yeah.
That's insane too. Like the shots that he was like making and shit, and then like all those jumps and still land on your feet.
Yeah, just
I would have busted my ass.
Spins. Like there were some of those spins. I'm like, man, I want to incorporate that into my jamming. Like, you know. So yeah, like people can argue, like, oh, it was against the Spurs, like. Okay, that makes sense for the point scored, but like when you actually see what he's doing.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, playing against a bad defense doesn't give you mm-mm. physical abilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wish it did. I'd have some cuts by legs too. Anyway. So shout out to Ja. I hope we see more of him on TV. We're definitely going to be seeing them during the playoffs. So that should be fun.
Yeah.
All right, so the next shout out goes to the NFL for announcing some of their international games. So in a, I don't know if this is an article or a press release, it's news. Released on NFL.com, written by Grant Gordon. It says the Packers, Buccaneers, Cardinals, Jaguars, Saints to play international games in 2022.
Hmm.
So, you know, in the past, the NFL has sent a team to Mexico City, a team to London. But this year, there are going to be 5 international games.
Shit.
So
you think this is their way to market football outside of the U.S.?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So the Arizona Cardinals will play in the NFL's first game in Mexico since 2019. While the Packers will be joined by the Jacksonville Jaguars and New Orleans Saints in playing games in the United Kingdom, and the Bucks will debut in Germany.
Nice.
So NFL Executive Vice President of Club Business and League Events, Peter O'Reilly, said in a statement, "We are very excited to be staging 5 games outside the United States in 2022. And thank the clubs for their continued commitment to growing the sport internationally. Our fans in Germany, Mexico, and the UK can look forward to seeing some of the most iconic names and biggest stars in the league and enjoying an incredible series of events." So right they're showing the locations of each game. So in Germany, it's going to be at FC Bayern Munich Stadium.
Oh, okay.
In Mexico City, it's going to be at Estadio Azteca.
Uh-huh.
In the UK, there's going to be 2 games at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and 1 at Wembley Stadium.
Mm, interesting.
Yep. And it says...
So who are these teams playing?
Well, that's going to be announced later.
Ah, okay.
So it says opposing teams, dates, and kickoff times will be announced in conjunction with the full 2022 schedule announcement later this year.
So are they usually also NFL teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In Mexico, I don't see how they send anybody that's not the Cowboys, especially considering like the big announcement the Cowboys made about like getting, you know, their market expanded into Mexico.
And like going there and practice and shit.
Yeah. Like it would have to be Mexico City.
Are we going? Hell yeah. I don't see why not.
So
Mexico.
If the Cowboys are Mexico are City. Bitches in Mexico.
Do you remember when we went to Montreal and we had like you started posting all this like hashtag what was it?
Oh, the Adventures of Mexico.
Yes.
That really was an adventure.
It really was.
I did not know that there were so many like just like native communities between Philly and Canada. So basically we had a tournament in Montreal. And we ended up renting a car in Philly. I don't know if I should be saying this out loud.
In Syracuse. Mm-hmm. That was New York. It was Syracuse.
Oh, that's where we rented that car? Yeah. Okay, so we rented a car in New York and drove to Montreal.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I kind of expected it to be a boring drive. But, you know, we're seeing all these
It was really pretty.
It was
super pretty. Such a nice drive.
And, like, Canada is, like, way more diverse than I ever realized. It, like, especially the time I went to Vancouver, I really saw it. Montreal, like, I knew it was there, but it just, like, wasn't as much. But, yeah, I really like Canada.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to an opportunity to go back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, new skids on the block. If y'all want to schedule a game. I'm just saying.
Yo, Falcon. Listen, we're friends on Facebook. You just got to shoot me a message, girl.
Whiplash. Hit us up. Okay, so yeah, shout out to the NFL for, you know, just announcing those games, making some unprecedented moves for the league. That should be really exciting, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I'm wondering if they're going to keep just putting games out there or if they eventually want to establish teams out there.
That's a good question.
From what you know about, like, European culture, for example, do you think there would be interest in playing American-style football?
I don't know, because I know, like Central European countries, they do play rugby. I don't know how big it is, but I know they do play. It's obviously not as big as soccer, but I don't know. Maybe it will do good, because rugby is sort of popular, so maybe it will actually take off in Europe.
Yeah,
I mean,
and especially people who can get paid well. Oh, yeah. Like American football players do. You kind of had a reaction when I named the stadium in Germany that they were going to play at. Is that like a big venue? Is that a big deal?
It's a soccer field.
Okay.
The Bayern Munich.
Hmm.
They are a really good team.
soccer team. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, we will stay on top of that and see where that goes. And so the last part of shout outs and call outs is a call out. Well, sort of a shout out. Okay, so when I first heard about this story, it was absolutely going to be a call out because it was when I heard about Art Briles being hired by Grambling State University as their new offensive coordinator. And you know it's bad when even Stephen A. Smith is like, that was really stupid. I can't believe you did this, you know. So basically, Art Briles was associated with like this major sex scandal at Baylor years ago. And he got a lot of criticism for how he responded to it, because based on the accounts of a lot of people, I was not paying attention to Baylor at the time when it happened. So I heard about all this after the fact, but everybody that I heard about it from, they kind of made it sound like Art Briles didn't really show any remorse for the fact that all this happened under his watch. He didn't show any concern for the victims. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get more into what he said closer to that time. But yeah, so that was the issue. He ended up getting hired by Grambling State as an offensive coordinator. And a lot of people were critical, one, because of his association with this sexual misconduct scandal that happened. And just the idea of him like leading young men just didn't sit well with a lot of people. And also the fact that this is him being hired at an HBCU. And people are like, okay, we understand that not every hire you make has to be a Black person. But if you're gonna, as an HBCU, if you're gonna hire somebody who's not Black, does it have to be this guy? Like, this is the guy you pick, the guy with this reputation? And so so this all happened on Thursday, right? Okay. So this was after we recorded our last episode. So mm-hmm. I kind of took note. I was like, all right, we're gonna talk about this on Tuesday. But before we could even get around to talking about it, Art Briles himself stepped down. Cool. So in an article printed on or published on ESPN.com, written by Pete Tamil, it says Art Briles informed Grambling State University on Monday that he'll no longer be the school's offensive coordinator, saying in a statement obtained by ESPN that he did not want to be a distraction to the football team.
Bridge by.
Briles' decision comes after the hire by first-year coach Hugh Jackson was met with a wave of backlash. Briles was fired by Baylor in 2016 after a campus-wide sexual assault investigation led to an independent investigation and his subsequent dismissal. Briles thanked Grambling State for the opportunity to be a part of the staff in his statement and added, "Unfortunately, I feel that my continued presence will be a distraction to you and your team, which is the last thing that I want. I have the utmost respect for the university and your players." Briles' hiring on Thursday was met with sharp criticism, including from former Grambling State star and coach Doug Williams, who told ESPN's John Keim that he can't support it and that late Grambling State coach Eddie Robinson is turning over right now. So, yeah, there was a lot of backlash with this hiring. I can't even remember the last time I heard about any hiring at Grambling State that wasn't like the head coach, you know.
Oh, I see.
My grandmother was very much involved in that university. And so that's why I hear about a lot of stuff that happened. I didn't go there. My brother is an alum of Grambling State. And so that's usually how I hear about things, from somebody in the family being like, oh, such and such happened. So for me to actually hear about like an offensive coordinator at Grambling State in the news, I was like, okay, what's
happening? Yeah.
So, yeah, this is definitely something that people are taking seriously. So I'm going to run through a timeline that kind of breaks down what happened. And so just bear with me because I've kind of read through this, but I haven't really picked out which parts are the most important. So you might hear like a lot of ums and likes and breaks, but I'm basically just trying to give y'all some history without taking up the next hour giving you the full history. Okay.
Bear with us.
This is also published on ESPN.com in an article titled "The Timeline of Art Briles' Downfall at Baylor Before His Hire at Grambling State." Very to the point title.
Yes. If that doesn't explain it to you, I don't know what will.
So it says, Briles 66 was hired as Grambling State's new offensive coordinator on Thursday. Athletic director Travian Scott said he did his homework, quote unquote, before approving new coach Hugh Jackson's selection. "I think Briles just wants to coach and lead men," Scott told ESPN when asked specifically about what made him comfortable about hiring Briles when many other schools and organizations haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
"We're not talking about a perfect situation or devaluing things done in the past and how it has affected people. He's sympathetic and empathetic about what went on." So it goes on to basically break down a timeline that starts on November 28th of 2007, when Baylor hired Briles, who was the head coach at Houston, to lead its program. He inherited a Bears team that had gone 35-101 in the Big 12 era, with zero bowl game appearances since 1994. Fast forward to April 15th, 2012, football player Tevin Elliott. Should we have done a trigger warning? Let's do one now. Yes. So there's going to be some words, some terms used that may cause a reaction in people who are sensitive to these words and terms related to sexual assault, misconduct, etc. So if that's an issue, just look at the timelines in the description and it'll show you when I start this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the timestamps. Mm-hmm. It'll show you when I start this and you can look at the next timestamp after this.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's going to be tough. So
yeah, because I didn't even realize that word was in here. They didn't put no kind of warning on this. No.
So this is our warning to you.
So yeah. So I'm a bleep out what I just said. Here's your official warning. Check the description for the timestamps if you need to fast forward through all this. Yep. All right. So April 15th, 2012, football player Tevin Elliott rapes a female Baylor student outside an off-campus party in Waco, Texas. The student reports the assault to police and a sexual assault nurse later that morning. Another former Baylor student alleges being gang raped by 10 to 15 other football players at the same party. Elliott is suspended 12 days later for an unspecified violation of team rules and is arrested 3 days after that. March 2nd, 2013, a female student trainer with the football team accuses football player Shemichael Chapman of sexually assaulting her. No criminal charges are filed. Baylor officials outside athletics move the trainer to another sport.
Wow.
April 2013. And let me just speak on that, because it's like, that may not seem like a big deal, but whether you are a trainer for a football team, especially a winning football team, versus a trainer for like soccer, softball, something like that.
Yeah.
That can impact the trajectory of your career as a trainer, you know?
Hell yeah.
Like, experience with certain sports does carry more weight with certain organizations. So that's kind of fucked up.
It is. They moved her and they left the fucking player. Keep playing in the university with a lot of other like young women.
Right. It's like, what trainer did they put in her spot? What happened to that person? Wild.
Yeah.
April 2013, a Baylor volleyball player tells then volleyball coach Jim Barnes that five football players raped her at an off-campus party earlier that year. Barnes shares the alleged assailants' names with athletic director Ian McCaw and Briles. So this is something documented where multiple football players were reported directly to this coach. And this was in April of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
April 20th of 2013. So this is that same month. A member of the Baylor Bears recruiting hostess program. What is a recruiting hostess program? alleges that football players Trayvon Armstead and Chapman sexually assaulted her at her apartment following a party for the school's annual Dia de los celebration. What is that?
It's a day of the bear, but it's all together. It should be three words, but I don't know why it's all together.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I see it now. Dia de los. Yeah. Okay.
I'm assuming. I mean,
it makes sense. Like the Baylor Bears.
It's the Bears. Yeah, that's why I assume that's what it is.
Yeah, I saw it as one word too, and I was like, the fuck is that?
Yeah.
So that happened that same month in October 19th of 2013.
Same year. These last three is the same year.
Same year. A Baylor women's soccer player accuses defensive end Sam Ukwuachu, hope I'm saying that right, of raping her at his apartment. She notifies police and has a sexual assault exam the next day. About 2 months later, the school's chief judicial affairs officer rules that the soccer player's allegations couldn't be proved by a preponderance of evidence and declines to pursue student conduct charges against Ukwuachu. November 14th of 2013, en route to an 11-2 record and Big 12 title in 2013, Briles agrees to a new 10-year deal. So while this is all going on, he gets signed to a 10-year contract. Financial terms weren't released since Baylor is a private school. USA Today later reported Briles made nearly $6 million in total compensation in 2014 alone, according to the university's federal tax return. So in 1 year, $6 million. December 7th of 2013, in their final game at Floyd Casey Stadium, the Bears defeat Texas 30-10 to clinch the Big 12 title, blah, blah, blah. Arguably the best in Baylor history, blah, blah, blah. January 23rd of 2014, a jury in Waco convicts Elliot on two felony counts of sexually assaulting a female student at the party in 2012. The jury rejected Elliot's defense that the incident was consensual during the trial. Three other women testified that Elliot also sexually assaulted them. A state court judge sentences him to the maximum 20 years in prison. April 5th, 2014, another Baylor student tells police that football player Devin Chaffin physically assaulted her during an argument. She alleges he choked her, slammed her against the wall, and kicked her. No criminal charges were filed. August 31st, 2014, Baylor's football team defeats blah, blah, blah. Defeats Southern Methodist University 45-0 in the first game played at McLean Stadium, the university's new $266 million venue on the banks of the Brazos River. The stadium is named in honor of alumnus and billionaire Drayton McLean Jr., who provided the largest financial gift towards construction. In November 18, 2014, Patty Crawford becomes Baylor's first full-time Title IX coordinator. December 6, 2014, Baylor wins its second straight Big 12 championship with a 38-27 victory against Kansas State. August 20, 2015, a jury convicts Ukwuachu, so that name came up earlier, a transfer from Boise State, of sexually assaulting the former women's soccer player. He is sentenced to 180 days in county jail and 10 years probation, the maximum incarceration allowed under Texas law when a jury recommends probation. He served more than 2 months before being released on a $100,000 appeal bond.
I wonder who paid that money.
August 21st, 2015, Baylor president and Chancellor Ken Starr orders Baylor law professor Jeremy Counselor to conduct an internal inquiry into how the university handled the sexual assault allegations against Ukwuachu. September 2nd, 2015, Baylor retains a Philadelphia law firm, Pepper Hamilton LLP, to conduct a thorough and independent external investigation into the university's handling of cases of alleged sexual violence. I don't even know how that works. How you hire a law firm to conduct an independent investigation. How does that work?
Because then you can twist the words and you can make them say whatever fits your narrative.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like if it's supposed to be independent, you shouldn't have nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Starr releases a letter to the Baylor community a day later saying, "Some have concluded that we could have done more," Starr wrote. "Perhaps so. Our independent investigation will soon reveal if opportunities exist for improvement in the way we respond to allegations of sexual violence." September 18th, Armstead is suspended from the Baylor football team for an unspecified violation of team rules. December 31st, the former Baylor soccer player who said she was sexually assaulted by Ukwuachu reportedly reaches an undisclosed financial settlement with the university. January 31st, 2016, ESPN reports that Baylor officials either failed to investigate or adequately investigate allegations of sexual violence made by two women against Elliot. Both women said they were informed that as many as six women had reported being assaulted by Elliot. The report also reveals Baylor University took nearly 3 years to comply with a federal directive to hire a Title IX coordinator. So not only are they allowing all these allegations of sexual assault to just go unchecked, but even just the bare minimum they're supposed to be doing regarding women athletes by hiring a Title IX coordinator, they just didn't do for the longest fucking time. So just showing a complete disregard for women on a lot of levels.
Oh, yeah.
February 3rd, 2016, Armstead is expelled from Baylor. He appeals, but is denied on April 5th, 2016. March 30th, 2016, the former Baylor student who reported she had been raped by Elliot files a federal Title IX complaint against the school and officials, including Briles and McCaw. So his name's coming
because
up again.
Because they fucking knew!
She claims the school knew Elliot had a history of assaults and failed to protect her and other women. Which, yeah, this would appear so. I want to take a second here because, like, I've seen statistics say things like the number of women who experience or are survivors of sexual assault or sexual misconduct is greater than the number of men who commit it, which is true. But this is why. It's because sometimes there are men in the situation who, even though they didn't actually commit the act, mm-hmm. they're compliant and they're complacent, you know? And
then
so
letting it happen.
And so that's how you end up in a situation like this where one person assaults like eight people, yeah. you know? And so people can sit here and be like, not all men. And it's like, yeah, not all men commit the act. That may be true. But in this situation, you can see that there are so many men involved from, you know, people who this was reported to and did nothing.
This is the thing. Like, if I see, if I'm driving or whatever, and I see, this is going to be an example, two cops beating somebody else, and there's two cops just standing by, all four cops are just as guilty.
Yeah.
All four of them. So if one person sexually assaults X amount of women, but there's like three, four, five, six of them covering the guy that does it, all five, six, seven, eight of them are guilty, just as guilty. They all should like pay for the same shit.
You're all letting him get away with
it. That's what I'm saying. You're covering it. Yes. Just because he's a good athlete, fuck that. Fuck that. You're breaking that person, man. You're like, Anywho, so, sorry.
No, you're good. So then on April 13, 2016, Baylor defensive end Sean Oakman, a transfer from Penn State, is arrested on a sexual assault charge. A Baylor grad student alleges Oakman forced her to have sex with him after they met at a Waco nightclub. Oakman told police the sex was consensual. He was later found not guilty of the charges by a jury. On April 14th, ESPN reports that Baylor did not investigate sexual assault allegations made against Armstead and Chapman for more than 2 years. While the school didn't begin looking into the allegations until September 2015, a Waco police report indicates it informed Baylor officials of the incident when it occurred back in April 2013.
Like, the people are graduating. They're out of the school by then.
Yeah. May 23rd, 2016... the Baylor Regents vote 24-6 to recommend suspending Browse with intent to terminate for cause and 26-4 to seek McCaw's resignation. The next day, Browse and McCaw are invited to a meeting to defend themselves. The Regents vote on May 25th to place McCaw on probation with sanction, and a motion to reverse the decision to fire Browse fails by an overwhelming majority. Then in May 26th of 2016, after receiving a comprehensive briefing of Pepper Hamilton's findings, Baylor suspends Briles with intent to terminate. In addition, the university announces Starr will no longer serve as Baylor president, although he would remain at the school as chancellor and a law professor before resigning. McCaw is sanctioned and put on probation. Richard Willis, chairman of the Baylor Board of Regents, says the board is horrified by the extent of these acts of sexual violence on our campus, and the depth to which these acts occurred shocked and outraged us, as it should. Pepper Hamilton is critical of the culture within the football program and Browse's discipline of players. Pepper Hamilton's findings describe Baylor's football players as being above the rules with no culture of accountability for misconduct.
Yep.
There were some hirings, firings, resignings. Fast forward to June 15th of 2016, three women who say they were victims of sexual assault, including one who said she was assaulted by a Bears football player on campus in April 2014, filed a second federal lawsuit against Baylor. The lawsuit does not name any victims who are identified as Jane Doe's or alleged assailants, and it refers to Baylor employees only by position. The lawsuit, which has still not been settled, eventually includes 10 women who say they were sexually assaulted from 2004 to 2016. In June 17, 2016, Baylor reaches a financial settlement with Briles. The Dallas Morning News later reports that Briles received $15.1 million, Starr got $4.52 million, and McCaw, who left to become Liberty's athletic director, was paid $761,059. The Morning News obtained information about the payments through the university's federal tax filings. I'm like, how you get paid so much money after you fuck up so bad? I would love to get that kind of settlement after I fuck up at a
job. Do you know about the killing in Baylor, too?
No, I don't.
That was in 2003, like, literally, like, not that long ago. And it was one of the basketball kids got killed. And the coach was trying to, like, make the other guys be like, well, you know, you just gotta say that you were just smoking some weed. Like, there's recordings of this. They have a documentary on Netflix. It's pretty heavy too, so also warning if you decide to watch it, but it's pretty fucked up. Like, Baylor, what are you doing, dude? Man, like, what's happening in there? What are y'all doing?
Fix it. In June 20, 2016, a woman files a Title IX lawsuit against Baylor, claiming the school created a hunting ground for sexual predators. The woman claims she was drugged and then sexually assaulted at an off-campus party, and then September 10, 2016, in an interview with ESPN, Brielle says he takes responsibility for the football program's poor handling of sexual assault allegations against its players and says his heart certainly aches for the victims. There were some bad things that happened under my watch, Brielle said, and for that, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I'm going to learn. I'm going to get better. Brielle said he understood why victims of players on his team would be upset with him. Because they reported it to you and you did nothing.
Right. Maybe well, that has something to do with it.
I tell them I'm extremely sorry. It just appalls me that somebody could victimize another human being, he said, and there's no place in society for it, and I've never condoned it and never will and never put up with it. But you did.
But you did. But you did.
These players are part of our program and representatives of our program, and when they do wrong, then it reflects on me and the university, so I do feel responsibility.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you should. So then there are more reports after that. A lot of this doesn't have anything to do with Brielle's specifically. So yeah, definitely check out this article. There's going to be a link to it in the description. So if you're watching or listening on Spotify, check out the description for a link to this specific article.
Yeah, it's very...
So in August 28th of 2017, the Hamilton Tiger Cats of the Canadian Football League hire Brielle's and then renege on the offer only hours later because of public backlash. Said Art Brielle's will no longer be joining the Hamilton Tiger Cats as a coach. The CFL and Tiger Cats said in a joint statement, "We came to this decision this evening following a lengthy discussion between the league and the Hamilton organization. We wish Mr. Brielle's all the best in his future endeavors." So that was one of the organizations that didn't want to hire him or didn't want to hire him. He was then hired in August 2nd of 2018 to coach the Guelphy Firenze. I think that's how you say it. An American football team in Florence, Italy. He said, "It's a chance to get back on the field. I'm excited. I really am. I'm grateful for the opportunity." And then there were some other places that like didn't want to hire him, Southern Mississippi and some other places. So definitely check out the article. But so yeah, here's one of the things that's really dangerous about that, you know, because I have a lot of guy friends who have kind of told me about not only their experiences being assaulted, and they didn't really realize that it was assault because of how they've been conditioned to view sex. Like, right. As men, they're supposed to always be receptive to sex. But my guy friends have definitely told me stories about, like, oh, yeah, I was drunk, and, like, you know, this person took advantage of me. I was so drunk I couldn't move or whatever, whatever. Or, like, being extorted. But the flip side of that is that especially on college campuses, this seems to happen a lot based on stories that I've heard from my guy friends, where it's like maybe there's one guy who seems to be getting it in with a lot of girls, and he'll kind of tell sometimes they go into detail. A lot of times they don't, apparently. Apparently it is true for a lot of guys who are like, yeah, I didn't realize that my friend was out here doing stuff like that. A lot of times it is true. But there are some situations where these guys will be like, well, if you want to get a girl to sleep with you, all you got to do is blah, 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 blah. And I've had guy friends tell me, like, years later, I realized that what they were describing was assault. But at the time, I didn't know, because right. It just seemed like that's just how you get pussy, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the biggest reasons why I have a problem with people who don't do anything about these situations. Because when you let somebody do something like that, and it gets reported and nothing is done about it for 2 years, maybe it is that guy is stupid and doesn't realize that coercion and force are not okay. That just because a woman eventually says yes, if you have to force her into a situation or make her physically uncomfortable or use physical force or coerce her, that shit is not okay.
Right.
But during that 2 years, how many people are they telling, this is how I got in so-and-so's pants, and that other person might be trying it. Now you've got other people thinking, like, coercion or getting a girl right. drunk enough right. is, like, the way to go about this.
Just because she said yes the 10th time, she told you no 9 times before.
Right. And there are some people who are out there saying things like, oh, well, you know, you just gotta keep asking, or, like,
yes, exactly.
just keep going. Or
don't take no for an answer. She'll give
like
in.
Literally I had a guy who was like, yeah, I remember having a friend in college who was like, oh, if you want to get a girl to fuck you, just like while you in the car after a date, just pull your dick out.
What?
And I was just like,
no.
Under some laws that could be considered assault. Like,
yeah.
And he was like, he was like, well, this is what he was telling all of us. He said, just pull your dick out. And if she doesn't do anything, take her hand and put it on your dick. And I was like, please tell me you never did that. And he was like, that seemed like some creeper shit to me. And I was like, not only is it creeper shit, that's assault. Like,
that is. That's terrible. Do not ever do that.
Yeah. You know, or like the myth that if a woman gets wet, it means she wants to have sex,
no!
even if she says no. That is not true.
Nobody means.
That is not true. That is like a physical response. Sex involves not only like physical response, but also like mental and emotional
yes.
consent.
Yes.
So that's like one of the biggest things that I think about when I hear these stories about like, oh yeah, this person reported this person and then they didn't do anything about it for 3 years. I'm just like, not only am I worried about how many people they encountered during those 3 years, but how many people then started thinking that that person's behavior was okay because they knew what happened
yeah.
and nothing happened to this person.
And also, like honestly, this is going to sound weird, but kudos to the woman that actually reported right after it happened.
That is tough to
that,
do.
Because for a lot of women that have been assaulted in any capacity, it's not easy to the next day just go and report it. Like a lot of women and a lot of people, not just women, people in general that get assaulted sexually, it takes time to even realize what just happened to you. So kudos to y'all. And even with that actual like fact that like they went and reported it to the police, to the university, and still nothing was done. Like,
and it's like, it's got to be even harder to report it when you're in a place where you know for a fact that place has a history of protecting the type of people who assaulted you.
Right.
When you know it's a football player and you're like, well, fuck, I'm at Baylor. Are they even going to do anything about it? Like, that has got to be so hard. And it makes me wonder, like, how many people didn't report?
That's
you
what
know?
I'm saying.
Either because they didn't know. Because it's like the same way these dudes are young and stupid, a lot of times these women are young and stupid.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And don't
yeah.
realize that what they've experienced was not okay. Mm-hmm. They just know like, oh, it made me uncomfortable, I'm just going to move on.
Yeah.
Or what's going to really happen if I say anything, I don't really want to talk about it over and over. There's a lot of reasons why people
don't
report.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there was a conversation that took place on First Take between Sam Acho and Stephen A. Smith, where Sam Acho really broke down one of the biggest things that is a problem in this situation and needs to be a bigger conversation. So I'm going to play that clip for you guys.
How in God's name could you make this call at an HBCU? After the battles you've been known to fight as recently as 2 weeks earlier on national television, on SportsCenter, lamenting the lack of opportunities for Black coaches. You get it, and this is what you do. There is no getting around that. And Hugh Jackson, I don't want anybody to think that he is anything less than a good man just because you're stubborn or hard-headed or truculent because you believe what you're doing is right doesn't make you a bad person by any stretch of the imagination. But to make this decision, it will live in infamy that Hugh Jackson made this call to begin with.
Lord, I'm with you on everything that you said, but I think there's a bigger picture, maybe even a bigger conversation that needs to be had, because when it comes to college football, pro football, really any level of football, but not high school football, it seems as if people care more about winning than integrity. They care more about your final record than it comes to your character. And so take out, no matter what league you play in, whether it's the XFL, Canadian football, high school, NFL, college, winning matters. And here's why I say that winning matters, at least from what I've experienced in my 4 years in college, going to national championship, 9 years in the NFL, going to the playoffs. Art Briles in 2013 at Baylor won the Big 12. While all this sexual misconduct was going on, he won it the next year as well. While all this sexual misconduct was going on, it had been going on years before, it had been reported. And he got rewarded with a new 10-year contract. And in fact, Baylor got rewarded with a brand new stadium, McLean Stadium, right? RG3, he played in the old stadium, helped in a lot of ways with the wins that the team had. They built a new stadium. They were rewarded. And so for me, I care more about character and integrity than I do about wins and losses. But society may not care more about character and integrity. So when Hugh Jackson says, I'm hiring Art Briles because I want to compete, he might be going with the societal standards of like, hey, let's forgive, if you will, quote unquote, and then worry about wins and losses because that's what society rewards. Is it okay? No. But is that what happens? Yes.
I know we got to go, Acho. And Molly, I'm going to give this to you.
Yeah.
Black coaches are a brotherhood.
Yeah.
I've spoken to many. I can't find one that is okay. Not one.
Yeah.
That's okay with this call Hugh Jackson made.
Absolutely. And I just want to say this very quickly. I know we've got to get to the top of the hour real quick. Obviously, this was the right decision. You heard my thoughts on this for Art Briles to resign. Obviously, it was an egregious hiring by Hugh Jackson. It was baffling on many levels, especially how hard he went for Brian Flores. But I do want to say this. I do applaud Hugh Jackson because he does have a foundation fighting human trafficking.
Yes.
That is the third most profitable crime. There's 40 million people trafficked globally. It is modern day slavery. So I do want to applaud him for putting his time and energy into that. And it's an issue many people stay away from because it can be very dark and ugly.
Absolutely.
But it needs to be addressed.
So we do need to applaud him.
We only
on that
this
end.
Decision.
No,
probably the only time that I will agree with Stephen A.
Oh, Stephen A. But yeah, I let that clip play so long because I did want to let Molly's point come up about the Human Trafficking Foundation because that is significant. But yeah, what Acho was saying about this culture of value and winning, that's true. And that's what we see play out over and over again, because winning leads to money. And so stuff like that, people will cover up as long as they feel like they can, because they don't want to hurt their own bottom line. You know,
it's bringing money. That's the whole thing. Winning brings money. That's
exactly
how they got the new stadium, like, brings money. So
That's why Briles got an extension amidst all this, because, you know, he was one of the best coaches that Baylor had had in a very long time, maybe ever. You know, I don't know a ton about the history of Baylor, but yeah, that's what allows people to kind of like sweep things under the rug and then just kind of move on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not okay. And so basically, like, if you want to see things like this change, not only do you need to be brave enough to speak out like a lot of these young women were, but you also have to figure out a way to hit people in a way that affects them. Because sometimes reporting doesn't impact people. The headlines don't. Sometimes it really just comes down to, like, you know, the bottom line. And sometimes that can be impacted easily. And sometimes it's more complicated.
Yeah.
But
fucked up.
Speaking of bottom line, at least in that situation, ultimately things played out the right way. Briles stepped down. I wouldn't trust him leading young men either.
Anything.
Yeah.
Stay home.
Yeah. Like, he's going to have to do a lot more than say he's sorry for me to believe that he would do something different.
You knew for so fucking long. I don't trust a word that leaves your mouth, bro. I don't. I don't care. You should not be in any team, any sport, leading anybody on anything. You shouldn't. Because you should have taken
especially
in account
this
woman.
When you didn't.
When you did.
So, okay,
you
so
did.
Explain that. Like,
right.
If you want people to, like, really feel like you've changed, explain that decision.
Don't
and,
say
and
that.
Tell us how you're going to be
don't
different.
Don't say that when you've been condoning it for years before. And you, like, the fact that you fucking knew about it, it's enough for me. I don't even need to know anything else. Fuck you.
So speaking of bottom lines and impacting the sports world in a positive way, so there is actually a way that all these people who are like, yeah, I want to get more into women's sports, but, you know, it's kind of been hard. Okay, we've got the answer for you today. All right. So
for this, yes.
Yes. This is what we're going to call the Bitch's Guide to March Madness. All right.
I love it.
Yes. Yes. So here's the thing, right? Now, we're going to talk about the men's and women's March Madness tournaments, but, like, this special shout out goes to people specifically in the BLS community who have mentioned, like, yeah, I want to be more supportive of women's sports. I wish I had more women athletes who were listed among my favorites, but I just have trouble knowing where to start. I don't know a lot of people who are into women's sports. When I go to women's games, the crowds don't seem excited, or there's not a lot of people. Stuff like that is what we've been hearing. So here's why this is the time for you to get into women's basketball. So when it comes to women's sports that are on the rise, women's basketball and women's soccer are like at the top, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk more about soccer as the soccer season goes on. But right now is the time to really get into basketball. And you might be thinking like, well, if it's the end of the college season, why would I get into it now? Okay, so here's why, okay? If you're not already into women's college basketball, you don't already have a team, you don't already have a favorite player, this is a time where it's going to be easier than ever to hear about the best players and the best teams in women's basketball. Mm-hmm. So you might find your team now that you're going to support next season. You might find a player now that you're going to support next season, or a player that you're going to support as they go into the WNBA draft, right?
Which would also give you a team.
Exactly. Not only that, but since so much more money is being put into women's basketball than usual, then if we can actually show an increase in engagement and in watching and in viewership, then that's actually going to do a lot of good for this sport and people being willing to invest money in the future. So if you're listening to this and you were like, oh, well, it's too late for me to pay attention to March Madness because I don't even know who's going to be in it. Fuck all that. All right. It's a perfect time. Throw all that out the window and just get into it now. All right. So I'm about to break down.
She knows.
Yes. I'm about to break down how you can get into it and how you can do a lot of very easy things that are going to benefit the sports and the athletes who play them. All right. So first things first, I'm going to break down some things that you need to know about March Madness. All right. So Selection Sunday is a big deal. Selection Sunday is when they're going to announce who's going to be participating in the March Madness tournaments. Now, the March Madness tournaments, if you're not even up to speed on what that is basically the tournaments that determine the champions of the Division I NCAA men's and women's basketball.
Like playoffs.
Yeah, it's kind of like playoffs, right? But it involves a lot more teams.
Yeah.
Even more teams that are in the entire league.
But to put it into perspective, it's sort of like playoffs.
Yeah, it's basically like a playoff. It's a tournament. So the men's selection show is going to be on Sunday, March 13th at 6 p.m. Eastern on CBS. They're going to announce 68 teams. The women's is going to be on Sunday, March 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. And this is the first time that they're having 68 teams.
Gonna say. Oh, yeah. 68 teams.
Yeah, so it had been 64 teams since 1994. This is the first year that they're going to have 68 teams. So you got 68 teams to choose from just off top. You can choose off the mascot, the colors that you like. It don't even matter. Whatever. So I've seen some things right about Selection Monday, which I don't think is a thing this year. I do believe that both shows are going to be, like, all the teams are going to be announced for both men's and women's on Sunday, just one on CBS and one on ESPN. But if you're in the BLS community, just be on the lookout because we're going to be posting everything.
Yep.
So it's like, if you feel like, oh shit, I forgot a date or what, just go to the BLS community. We're going to have it there. No worries. All right. So how do they pick these 62 teams? So one way is you can be an automatic qualifier. So there are 32 Division I conferences, and all of them receive an automatic bid, which they award to the team that wins the postseason conference tournament. So regardless of how a team performed during the regular season, regardless of what their record was, everybody gets a chance in this tournament. And so if you win, you come out on top, you get a bid into the NCAA tournament. And then there are at-large bids. So 36 teams are selected that way. So there's basically a selection committee that takes into account things like the scores and other stats throughout the season. It's not exactly a set formula. It involves multiple levels of ballot creation and voting and seeding, which seeding is basically where they decide a team's ranking and how they're placed in the bracket. Honestly, it seems to be a really long and involved process. I don't envy anybody who has to do it, but it's basically 12 people who are selected by people in the conferences and whatnot, and they pick the other 36 teams. So both the men's and women's tournament are single elimination. So that means you lose and you're out. And both brackets have a first four. So the first four games are the four games between eight teams. And so it's like the lowest four automatic qualifiers and the lowest four at-large bids. Those are the eight teams that play the first four games. So Any questions?
Not yet.
She's like my test subject for the information that I'm giving to y'all.
I'm just as new as y'all, yeah. So it's we're on the same boat here.
So you've got the women's conference tournaments. And so, like I said, there's 32 Division I conferences, right? I don't really expect y'all to watch all of them. So I'm just going to name a few from some of the major conferences and some of like the top players. So for the women, we've got the SEC tournament, which is going to be Wednesday. So starting tomorrow, Wednesday, March 2nd through Sunday, March 6th is being played in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's broadcast on the SEC network. So a few names of note are Aaliyah Boston and Coach Dawn Staley of the South Carolina Gamecocks, number one ranked Gamecocks.
We've mentioned them before in other episodes, and Aaliyah got mentioned today earlier.
Yep. And so their championship is going to be at 2 p.m. on March 6th on ESPN2. Then you've got the Big 12, which is going to be March 10th through March 13th. And that's going to feature Nalissa Smith of the Baylor Lady Bears. So shout out to the Baylor Lady Bears. Their championship is going to be at 2 p.m. on March 13th on ESPN2. And then in the Big East, their tournament is going to be March 4th through March 7th. So that's going to feature Paige Buechers and Kristen Williams of the 7th-ranked Connecticut Huskies. And their championship is going to be at 8 p.m. on March 7th on FS1. All right. And then on the men's side, we've got in the SEC, their tournament is going to be March 9th through 12th. So there's going to be Oscar. I looked up how to say this name earlier, and now I don't remember. I want to say it's Shebue. I hope that's it. Anyway, he's with the number 7-ranked Kentucky Wildcats. Their championship is going to be at 1 p.m. on March 13th on ESPN. All these times are Eastern, by the way. And then in the Big Ten, we've got their tournament March 9th through 13th. So you'll see Kofi Cockburn from the Illinois Fighting Illini. Oh, and I meant to mention Caitlin Clark earlier when I mentioned the women's Big Ten tournament. But yeah, so if you watch the Big Ten tournament, definitely look out for Caitlin Clark on the women's side.
On Iowa.
She'll catch her. Yeah. So the Big Ten men's championship is going to be at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on March 13th on CBS. And then in the West Conference, the West Coast Conference, you've got Drew Timm of the number 1-ranked Gonzaga Bulldogs. Their tournament is going to be March 3rd through 8th, and their championship will take place on March 8th on ESPN.
We saw him because we were watching some college basketball the other day, and he's fucking good.
Gonzaga is fucking good. So those are some notable names, some notable teams, some notable tournaments. So when it comes to the tournaments, in the BLS community, we will probably just talk about the ones that are going to be televised because there's 32 of them. We're not trying to spam y'all all day with 64, like the results of all the games from 64 tournaments. So we'll probably just talk about the biggest ones.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Selection Sunday and who's going to be playing in the first four and who's going to be playing each weekend and each round and keeping up with the progress and the brackets, we'll definitely be talking about all that in a way where you won't feel like your feed is being spammed, but we do want to help everybody keep up with what's going on.
Yeah.
So how to watch YouTube TV. Honestly, YouTube TV is still the best option for any sports fan. And I'm going to show you why, because I'm like, once again, this is not an ad unless YouTube TV, if you catch
YouTube
one of this
TV,
clip,
listen,
hit us up.
Listen.
But I'm about to show y'all. I'm about to show y'all why bitches who love sports love YouTube TV.
It's legit the best way to watch sports.
It really is. All right, so I'm going to share my screen again. All right, so we got this clip that I just showed. I'm going to scroll down. I'm going to go to this little magnifying glass over here. So let's say I'm brand new to keeping up with women's college basketball, and I'm like, I don't know what team, what conference, what player. I can come over here and put in NCAAW. So that's NCAA Women's. And so as you can see, basketball, lacrosse, gymnastics, it all comes up. So on YouTube TV, I'm looking at NCAAW basketball. And so I go here, and it's spinning, and it's spinning, and it loads, and then I click this plus sign. And so now it's saying add it to your library. So basically anything that comes up that's related to NCAA women's basketball is now, I'm now going to record it. And so you've got, the first thing it'll show you on these tabs is the recent, and then it'll show you the schedule. So as you can see, it kind of shows you the games that are coming up soon. So these are tonight, and you can see all upcoming games. It's going to show you all the games on this list, even the ones that aren't being aired. And then it also gives you standings for every team in every conference. So you've got a lot of information right there. So let's say you do figure out a team that you're like, okay, I really want to follow. So like maybe Vanderbilt. And so I just type in Vanderbilt, and here we go. Vanderbilt Commodores women's basketball. And so I can go right there and just be like, all right, so every Vanderbilt game. So that way, if it's on YouTube TV, but it's listed as like maybe a Vanderbilt game or an ESPN game, and it's not listed under NCAAW specifically, this is a way to do it. So the NCAAW option is something that you can use for like just to make sure you record all the tournament games. But then this is something that you can use to make sure that you're following a certain team or if you want to follow a certain conference. Okay, so here's some options. So I can type in SEC and I see SEC tournament. Ah, no, that's not what I wanted to do. So I can type in SEC tournament. All right. And so then you can just go in and add in every single one of these. Or if I go to one of them, I can go to add SEC tournament first semifinal and then just add that. So basically you have a bunch of different ways of making sure that you can record what you want to record. Also, there's unlimited DVR. So it's like some platforms you can only record so much. With this, you don't have to worry about it throwing out something that you recorded unless there's an expiration date on it. And it'll show you if there is. Mm-hmm. But as far as like this idea of recording too much, you can't record too much. So this way, even if you like forget a certain time or you're like, well, I have this other event or I got to go to work or I got to be with the kids, whatever, you can still record whatever you want to record and then you can watch it. And then whenever you play it back, and I'm going to show you with this, if you want to, you can play it back, but then you can play it back like faster. So it's like, if you just need the stuff to go faster, like if you're like, I don't have time to sit here and watch it, you can just go faster. You can also skip through and skip the commercials later if that helps you. So you can take a 2-hour basketball game and, you know, shrink it down to 45 minutes or an hour, you know? And then not only that, but for a lot of games, they'll even just, they'll be like, do you want to just watch the highlights? And you can be like, yeah. So YouTube TV, it's like it was built by sports fans. It's like they were like, I wish this is how TV worked. And YouTube was like, I got you. So that is my main recommendation. Now, if you don't have YouTube TV, I would say figure out the best platforms to follow. Like I said, BLS Community is one of them.
Yep.
If for some reason you're like, I don't qualify for the BLS Community or I don't want to be in it, here's some information. So according to the NCAA website, the men's games are going to be broadcast on either TBS, TNT, True TV, or CBS. You can also stream every game on March Madness Live. I've never used March Madness Live. I don't know anything about it. That is not a recommendation from me. That is a recommendation from the NCAA. And for the women, the NCAA says this, women's basketball tournament games can be found on ESPN networks. So here's the thing. Remember how I said you can help. If you decide to watch women's basketball, one, post about it in the BLS community. Two,
important.
That's important. But what's more important for the athletes who are playing women's basketball, at least, what's more important is tweets per second. Okay. So it's like you might be a person who doesn't tweet a lot, or maybe you don't normally tweet about sports, but if you can figure out something to tweet about, just the more that we can tweet and show that people are watching and invested and that they care, the better it's going to be for these athletes and for support of their sport in the future.
Do retweets count?
Yes.
So you can just follow us and retweet.
You can follow us. You can, yeah. You can follow us. You can retweet us. You can also retweet.
Follow the team that you're following now or you're watching and retweet them and, you know.
Yeah, you can retweet the team, the
school.
That's
how you help women's sports.
The player, yes. This is one way that you can help women's sports for free. So, yes, other major platforms like ESPN or the NCAA, if they post like a highlight or a game score, retweet that. So all of that will help. All right. So now, who do we root for? To be honest, I don't know. I don't have a favorite. Like, I'm a Vanderbilt alum. Okay, so there's that. But other than that, I've been watching, but I haven't been paying enough attention to be like, oh, this is my favorite. Well, no, I'm lying. South Carolina. I would love to see Dawn Staley, win it all. So it's like, if you really don't know and you just want an answer, root for the Gamecocks. Hold on. Let me plug this in before it dies.
Before it dies. Yeah, or like if you went to college, I'm sure there was a women's basketball, or you know somebody that went to college, or your family, some family member, a sibling, a parent that went to college. Like, it's gonna be easier because there's already a tie there. So that way it's easier for you to get into it. And if there isn't, South Carolina. And if you're like a super fan of your state, there's probably a big school in your state that you can follow their women's team.
So that's a little bit of advice about who to root for. You can also root for no one if you just like watching.
You can just
like
watch
that.
It.
You can pick a favorite player. So if you watch.
That's how she watches a lot of sports too.
That facts. like, let's say you have on your schedule to watch a game. Okay. And if you watch that particular channel before the game comes on, usually like 30 minutes before or so in the pregame show is when they will talk a lot about like either the history between the two teams, or if there is a player that has like a particular story that's like really engaging, they'll talk about that. So it's like if a game is about to start and you still haven't figured out who you want to root for, just watch the pregame show and they might say something that makes you be like,
yeah.
Oh man, I really want this person to win. All right. Or I really want this team to win, you know? You can also decide as you watch. You might see a team's playing style and just be like, you know what? They're scrappy.
Yeah.
I like them.
Yeah.
And you can take it weekend by weekend. So I know we mentioned that there are 68 teams, right? But it's like, it's not like they're all playing at the exact same time.
Right.
You can, you know, just root for a lot of different teams, go game by game, and then just narrow it down as the bracket gets narrow. And then just like decide once it gets to the Elite Eight or the Final Four, and then decide. You know?
Yeah.
So those are all options. So the first four and first and second rounds for men's and women's are going to take place between March 17th and the 21st. Then you've got the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight rounds, which are going to happen between March 24th and the 28th. Then the women's semifinals are going to be on April 1st. The men's semifinals are going to be on April 2nd. The women's championship will be on April 3rd. And the men's championship will be on April 4th. That kind of gives you a rundown. Basically, between tomorrow and April 4th, there's going to be a lot of tournaments. There's going to be a lot going on in the world of college basketball. And if you are in the BLS community, we will find the best way to help you keep up with it, especially with women's basketball.
Yes. And we'll try to like tell you who's making it through. And so it will be easier for you to watch it too.
Yeah. And so if you do end up wanting to hear more, like let's say you watch a game and like there's a weird call, or you're like, oh man, the underdog won. I wonder how this is going to impact the rest of this tournament. There are a few places that you can go to hear more. So one of them is the conference network. So the Big Ten has its own network. So does the ACC. So does the SEC. ESPNU talks specifically about college sports. And then another good source is turning to ESPN right after the games end. So usually on ESPN or ESPN2, SportsCenter will be on right after the games end, and they'll talk about the details. And specifically SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. I see more like women's highlights on his show than most other shows on ESPN. So it's like if you watch the morning shows like First Take, like Get Up, they usually don't talk a lot about women's sports, unfortunately. Even like Skip and Shannon, they usually don't. But if you watch the shows in the evening, the SportsCenter shows, the SportsCenter.
They will dissect what LeBron said for 30 seconds and take 2 hours for that, but they will not talk about women's sports.
No, they won't, unfortunately.
Sad.
And then, of course, there's Just Women Sports. They're on TV. They have a crew that writes a lot of articles related to women's sports, as it says in the name, Just Women Sports. That's all they talk about. And then, of course, there's us, Bitches Love Sports.
Just Women Sports is also a nice page to follow on Instagram or whatever. They put reels, and they put a lot of highlights of all the games of women's college and stuff. And any women's sports really, but it's fun and it's nice. It's really cool. Like, y'all should go follow them. It's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and then there's like, what should I do while I watch? Sometimes people, whenever it comes to adding something new to their routine, is kind of like, I'm not sure how to do this in the most comfortable way. So number one, don't feel pressured to throw a party.
No.
You're going to see a lot of ads like, buy this pizza, get these wings, get these nachos, blah, blah, blah. Like, look.
I've never seen that before, besides in this country.
Really? Yes. They don't do that around soccer games?
I mean, it depends. Like, some people are like, oh, let's go to the bar. But it's just like, let's go to the bar and have a beer while we watch the game. It's not like, oh, everybody, come on over. Really? Yeah.
That is so funny.
Yeah, no.
Here, it is definitely a thing.
Oh, like, no shit, I know.
Are you watching a big game? Who cooking, like, grilling? Where we ordering food from? How many people are coming? Who making the drinks? Mm-hmm. Like, it's an event.
If it's a big game, everybody goes to the bar.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, that is an option that we're going to mention. But I just want to tell everybody, don't feel pressure to throw a party.
Do not.
especially if you're just getting into sports, because that can just add to the anxiety and putting weight on it. Just like learn how to get used to enjoying the game and tweeting to help these athletes get some attention. Okay.
Yes.
If we can get some of these women trending, amen.
Yes, yes.
You
do your job.
Right. So if you do throw a party, though, post some pictures in the BLS community.
Hey.
You know, show us what you're eating, what you're sipping on, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. We're sipping on gin and tonic, in case you were wondering.
Yes. Anytime we're here, it's gin and tonic. That's S-Pain's signature.
Signature drink. I got pretty good at this.
You have gotten really good at this. Also, post pics on social media in general.
Yeah.
If you are watching women's sports.
Hashtag the team, tag the team that you're watching, all that, your player, whatever it is, that helps a lot.
And then also give yourself space to be a spectator instead of a hostess. So here's what I mean by that. Some of us might live with people who are not used to us being sports fans. We might have a partner, spouse, significant other, and maybe they're into sports and they're not used to us being into sports. And they're used to you being the person who can like grab them a beer or refill the queso, because you're not really watching anyway. You're just hanging out. If you decide that you actually want to watch and get into it, set those standards beforehand. Be like, look, I'm watching this game. Get your own damn beer. If you got people coming over, you know, make sure they know when they come in, that's where you can go get the drinks. If you need some more queso, it's over there. Like, if you need some wings, they're in the oven, they're on top of the stove, whatever it happens to be. So that you can enjoy your time without feeling like you have to serve people the whole time, unless they pay.
And trust me, those boundaries are important.
They are. Another option is to go to a bar or restaurant, especially if you live in a town where one of these schools is playing. There's going to be some sports bar or something that is going to have probably drink specials, or at minimum, they're going to be showing the game.
Yeah.
And so
maybe even happy hour. Hey,
exactly.
Win-win. I mean, right.
So that is definitely an option, to just go to a bar or a restaurant with a friend or two or three and just watch the game there. And then you can also do nothing. There are a lot of times when I'm watching the game, like when I'm watching the Lakers probably lose tonight. You can do
your work. Shade. It just got dark in here. The shade of the Lakers.
It's not shade. It's just, I don't normally make predictions, but that's my prediction. But, you know, some of y'all are into knitting, so you can knit while you watch the game. Like, especially if you got the volume up, the announcers, they'll let you know when something important
is happening. You'll hear the cheering or the booing. You'll hear.
Right. Just watch for the score changes, but do your work, chill, sip some wine, play Candy Crush, Wordle, whatever.
Smoke weed, whatever it is. Yeah. Bake a cake, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or eat the cake.
Yeah, what bake a cake, would eat do. Cake. Yeah. Bake it if you can, eat the cake, get you some warm cookies, especially if you smoke some weed.
Dude, you were going to need the cake or the cookies for sure.
So lots of options. So I think that covers everything about how to approach March Madness.
I think so. I think that was probably the best breakdown I've ever heard to like on any how to do anything.
Okay. Hopefully people gathered the right things and it wasn't too long. So quick summary in case that was a lot. All right. First things first are going to be the conference tournaments. Those are happening starting as early as tomorrow. That's going to determine the automatic bids for the NCAA Division I tournament, all right? Then they're going to figure out the other 36 teams on each side that are going to participate. It's going to be announced on Sunday, March 13th, all right? From there, you're going to have the first four and first and second rounds. And then you've got your Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, and then the championships. Use YouTube TV to make sure everything's recorded.
Still, we're not sponsored by YouTube TV. Just, you know.
One day.
If you do want to.
I can feel it. Putting it out in the universe. So use YouTube TV to record everything. If that's not an option, pay attention to the BLS community. Follow the teams that you think you want to follow on Twitter. Make sure you get the information. Because sometimes the times and channels do change, right?
Yes.
And in some cases, they haven't even been announced yet. So that's really the main reason why we want to provide that information for our community, because we want to be intentional about helping y'all keep up.
Yes.
But yeah, and then just have fun with while you're watching. If that means food and drinks and people, cool. If that means sitting by yourself knitting, cool. Just do your thing.
Yeah.
So that's the summary.
Just watch some women's sports. Help them get to the next level. Because
yeah.
that's the very least that we can do. And actually, you know, if you like any of the sports, watching women's sports is just as good. Like, it literally is. So it would be very helpful to the, not just like the community in general, women in general, like help them get to where they need to be.
Yeah. Oh, and like somebody might say something like, oh, the women's game is boring. Literally, the only difference is that, like, the women don't dunk as much, honestly.
If you say that, it's because you've never really watched a women's basketball
game. Yeah, so don't let that discourage you if you hear somebody say
yes,
that.
Yes, don't, because it's not true. It really is not true. It's not true. And if you know, just follow, what was it, Just Women's Sports. They put a lot of highlights. Like, I just, today and yesterday, a lot of Caitlin Clark came up my feed on that page, and her three pointers are just like out of this fucking world. So it's just watch it. That's it.
Oh, before we sign off, we're not going to have a new episode for a few weeks.
That's important.
Any new content that we do create will either be on our Instagram or in the BLS community. And it'll probably be like little short stuff, or maybe we get like on StreamYard or on IG Live at the same time.
Yeah.
Just to talk about a game that happened. But like a full episode, we are preparing to represent ATX Women's Sports at South by Southwest. We're going to be hosting a meetup for competitive women athletes. So if you're watching this and you're going to be attending South by, definitely come through to our meetup and meet us and meet some of the other awesome women that are going to be there. But that's what we're preparing for. And so we're just giving ourselves a little space, because it's like the episode we recorded last week, I just finished it yesterday.
Yeah,
so if I try to record an episode next week, it's not going to get edited until April.
After, yes.
So I'm just like, you know, for the sake of quality control, we're going to take a little break. So we'll be talking about March Madness
in the
community on Twitter and on Instagram. We'll be making content, all of that. But we probably won't be back in the picture making podcast episodes until like the Elite Eight or so, maybe.
Yeah.
It really might be the Final Four, honestly. Like end of March, early April, which even then I'm not sure because I got Team USA tryouts. I don't know. Like I always say, it's hard.
Bitches are busy.
Yes.
Bitches are busy.
And so like we're trying to provide the content that y'all want, but we're also trying to be respectful and make sure that it's quality. So
yeah. And also we also have lives.
Yes. And we do have lives.
Like
so,
this is fun, but we also have lives.
Yeah. So minimum 3 weeks, maybe longer depending on what I need to do to get ready for Team USA and what Spain is doing at the time. And then I got a whole nother thing the very next weekend. So we'll see. But hopefully it's only 3 weeks. And then we'll be back. Because I feel like we've got to do an episode about the Women's Final Four, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We've got to bring it up.
We have to talk about our meetup, too.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely have to talk about how
we might go live after. We don't know.
Or during.
Or during. Who knows? So, stay tuned.
So, yeah, if you don't see a new episode for a while, that's why.
That's why. Tell us you miss us, though.
Yeah, yeah.
We won't be mad at that. You will make us sad.
So I hope to see all of y'all in the BLS community. Oh, and if you're worried, or if you remember what I said about the reward for the people in the community, they did achieve it. So
they did. Thank
you. If we sustain it for the week, then it's going to be some really exciting news being announced in there. So this is a time to get in there. Get in there.
Get in there. That's all. Right.
Anything else?
No, that was a very informative episode.
Cool. Well, on that note, I'm Bitch 2.
Bitch 1.
And we out.
Bye.